So tonight's message is called Let Fear Have No Place. Glory to God. And the biggest thing that we need to know, well, let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. Biggest thing that we need to know is that fear is the thing that opens the doors. Are we running live stream now? Praise the Lord. We are? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Of course, you know this too, you know, if you can't be in church and you still want to be faithful, bring your offering and stuff, we do have ways you can do it online as well. We always have. I don't really talk about that too much, but we do. You can go to our website and stuff like that. Glory to God. So turn with me to Let Fear Have No Place, 2 Timothy 1:7. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. Glory to God. Of course, it says here, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know that this is a scripture I quote often. I know it's one I bring up often, but I did feel good by the Lord to bring it up again. We need to remind us of these things. We need to remind ourselves that fear is the absolute opposite of what we should be doing. I'll just be honest with you. When the heaviness of this started coming down, the first thing, my first reaction was I wanted to run for the hills. Like, Lord, don't let me lead. I don't want to lead your people. I don't want to be leading anybody right now. I just want to be, you know, because there's a lot, you know, like I said, there's a lot of decisions. And many of us have many decisions to make. But the more that we make decisions in fear, the more we're going to make wrong decisions. Fear decisions are wrong decisions. Fear decisions are wrong decisions. We don't make decisions based on fear because we don't have no reason to be afraid. God has promised us that we will always pull through. There are times when it doesn't look like we're going to pull through. There are times when it looks heavier than you can handle. There are times when it just doesn't look like very much as good is going on at all. But that doesn't matter because we know our God, don't we? Our God always comes through for us. He always will come through for us. And we always see the other side. Amen. In the last few days, again, just like I said, the last thing that I've wanted to do is be in faith. I've wanted to cry. I've wanted to do all kinds of things. I'm just saying, you know, that there's, and why? I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not afraid at all of this virus. The virus in my mind is not something that I'm personally afraid of. My family is not in fear about it. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying I wouldn't have to deal with those fears if my immune system was compromised or something like that. I understand where those fears come from. I'm just saying for us, the virus, it hasn't caused any fear. But for us, the thing that I have thought about and the thing that the devil has tried to use about me is the ramifications of such a thing happening. You know, when you look at businesses closing down, when you look at your life changing now, you know, I mean, I love having my family at home, but let's, you know, my wife was saying, even just being a school teacher, she was saying, you know, some kids had reached out to her. This is ruining their normalcy. And how many know that, you know, one of the biggest things that kids need, and everybody needs, but one of the biggest things that people need is stability. Children especially need stability, amen? Stability is the thing that the devil always robs, and that's why he tries to get people out of churches, because church puts stability in people. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Can I be honest with you? Praise the Lord. Every single time something comes up, the devil tries to rob me of my connections with my pastor and my connection with Pastor Michael. Every single time, that's what the devil points at. He points at something that makes something that they're doing wrong, or he points at what they're doing and say, well, that's not right. Praise the Lord. You know what I loved about Pastor Michael? He sent out a message to all the pastors of the family churches, and he says, many pastors are deciding to do different things. He said, I just want you to know that I stand with you 100% on anything you decide. That just blessed me so greatly, because that is a man. He's just saying, I'm with you. Even if you choose wrong, I'm with you. See, and that's exactly the way it needs to be. Like, if you have a household, praise the Lord, how many people know that if you've been a father or a mother, you know one thing for sure, you have not made every decision right ever. Praise the Lord. How many decisions do you make that you could go either way, and sometimes they're good, sometimes, you know, I'm just talking about natural decisions in your flesh. You're just like, man, I really screwed up on that one or whatever. Listen, you're not going to, but the last thing you need is people against you that are in your own kind, amen? And so when we see this is what the devil tries to rob. This is how he splits up families. This is how he gets husbands and wives, because he gets them against each other. And see, those things shouldn't be so. And so we see that all through society. Every time that the devil is successful in something, it's because he's caused some kind of instability. What did he do in the garden when he went after Adam and Eve? He got them in instability. You know, he got Eve to go against God, and then he got her to convince Adam, and then he got Adam to blame Eve. I mean, just look at the you know what I mean? At some point, sometimes we just need to stop. At some point in time, we just, you know what? My opinion doesn't matter that much. You know, and my wife, every once in a while, we'll get into some intense fellowship. We'll get disagreement about something. We'll get to something where it just doesn't seem like there's an impasse. But what do? We always get to the point. The reason our relationship is good is because we always bring it back to the point of, we always come back to that point of, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter compared to the whole. Amen? What matters is that we, you know, that we reach people, that we help people. Our lives should be lived that way. And so when we're going forth in the same direction, you know, you may not agree with every decision that I make, but you can at least have the understanding that my heart is with you and that I'm trying to make the right decisions. And, of course, my goal is to be led first and foremost. And I believe that I am, praise the Lord. But, you know, that in being led, you know, I have a scripture that I love. It's a Proverbs 11. I'm just going to bring it up to you real quick. Praise the Lord. I've been meditating in this. Proverbs 11, and you could write this down and just keep it. Proverbs 11, 14. And it says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, when it says in the multitude of counselors, of course, we know that it's not talking about just any old counselor. But in the multitude of godly counselors, there is safety. Do you know for a pastor in a leading, even as a pastor, you can be led astray if you're not counseled right. And so these are the reasons why God is trying, or the devil is trying to disconnect us from our connections. Amen. And he'll do it through things like fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Of course, Sunday I preached about having sound doctrine. And of course, that relates to having a sound mind, all these things. We need to be sober-minded about things. And what I mean sober-minded is that, you know, a person, praise God, I have some family members, I'll leave it at that, that are real bullheaded. Now, my family has done real well at raising bullheaded people. Offense, Mom, but we're all a bit bullheaded in our own way. Amen? All of us are. Praise the Lord. It's just the way that it is. I didn't mean to just look at him. I actually. Praise the Lord. But hey, just look down the front row here and you can see bullheaded people. Praise the Lord. I'm just saying, we all got our things, you know. Amen. But one of the things, you know, you've heard me say a lot, and this is because God's dealt with me on it a lot, but you've heard me say a lot that if we would just be sober-minded, if we wouldn't deceive ourselves, if we would think of ourselves honestly, the way things are, and not just how we think, you know, try to see it from another point of view. You know, recently my wife and I were having a discussion, one of those intense fellowship discussions. And during the discussion, I couldn't see what she was saying at all. I mean, at all. I wrapped up in what I was seeing. I could not see it. And part of the reason that it lasted so long is because I couldn't see that side of it. Now, when we got through it, we got to the other side of it, I re-looked at it, and I looked back at it, and I thought, I fully see her side. Now, I didn't completely agree with it still. I didn't in the sense of that I didn't think it mattered whatever I was deciding as much as she thought it did, but it didn't matter. Now I could see her point of view better. And when I saw her point of view, I had her heart on it. And when I had her heart on it, it was easier for me to say, you know what, my point of view doesn't matter so much. Even if I was completely right, which I'm sure that I wasn't, I've seen, you know, in any given thing, there's a lot of things that are based on opinions or personal wants or desires. I'm a man, she's a woman. That's enough to separate us for eternity. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the truth. Yeah, let's say, how many, we all know about the book. We've heard about the book, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. I don't know if it's Mars and Venus. I think it might be galaxies or universes, but it's different. We all know it's different. Amen? This is the biggest reason I can point to that men are men and women are women. Praise the Lord, because you can pretend you're a woman if you're a man, but you're still going to think like a man to a degree. Amen? So at any rate, so my point is that not to have so much of our own opinion or our own, you know, all the time, but to be able to look at what other people are saying, and even if it's not what we would choose, we can look at it and say, I understand why they're picking that way. Praise. I don't even know how I got on all this. It wasn't planned, but man, is this good. I'm just so thankful for it. Praise the Lord. But if we could look at other people and we could say, you know what? I get why you're doing things the way that you're doing, or you're seeing things the way you're seeing. Amen. You know, you know, it's helped me a lot as a pastor when I look at people and I think, why on earth would people do that? All the time I do. I see something and I think, why on earth would you do that? Or why on earth would you focus on this? Or why on earth would this be your thing? Praise the Lord. But then the Lord always reminds me. It's like, well, you got to understand this background, and that background. You got to understand that this is where they came from. You got to understand this is how they're raised. You got to understand this is what they've always seen. You've got to understand that they've never been taught the way you have. You've got to understand this, or you've got to understand that. And when God does that to me, it really helps me look at people and go, you know what? And now have mercy on them. Even if I can look at what they're saying and say it's completely wrong and stupid even, but I can look at them and I can have mercy on them and I can do what a pastor is called to do, and that's guide people, lead people into the right things. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so I can have that compassion, but we all need to have that air of compassion. Amen? Praise the Lord. But the key to that is the key to compassion is understanding where we come from. When we understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, then we understand that the things aren't going to hold us back. That even if somebody else is wrong and it hinders us a little bit, we can still go forward in faith because God is good to us, because we're faithful and He loves us. See, God isn't going to do in your life based on somebody else. Now, that doesn't mean that your life will not be affected by those around you, because certainly they will. I mean, look at Caleb and Joshua. They did not go into 40 years because of the group of people that wouldn't go. Yes, they suffered in the wilderness too, but they had faith. They stayed in faith and God blessed them. And I don't think that God went into all the details in the Bible, but I guarantee you when we're up in heaven and we're at the heavenly IMAX and we're watching about Caleb and Joshua in the wilderness, I guarantee you God blessed them in the wilderness. Guarantee you. Why? Because they were faithful no matter what. They didn't get to the promised land at the same time, but God still blessed them. Amen? And so we have to understand that sometimes we don't get where we're going all at the same time, even at the time we were supposed to. But if we're faithful, God will always work it out in our favor. But we got to stay faithful. Amen? And part of that is knowing your place. See, fear always takes us to the unknown. Fear is caused by the unknown. Fear in humanity is caused by the unknown. That's why people are freaking out. If everybody realizes, like even retailers have said, listen, we have more than enough toilet paper. There's more than enough supply coming. There's been more than enough made. All of this is ridiculous. But see, in people, they're thinking, what if, what if, what if, what if? And see, this is what Christians have to back away from. We got to back away from fear. We've got to say, no, there is no what ifs when you're with God, because God, there's only surety. With my God, there's only surety. Praise the Lord. So if the things that I do, if my business, glory to God, if my business is taking a hit because of this, we're going to be good. We're going to stand in faith. We're going to be good. Now, that does mean in times like this, sure, there's things. We're looking at the spending that we spend. We're looking at the spending that the church spends. Do we, you know, one of the things that blessed me is that my wife said there's very, very little debt for the church in the sense of amount of people that we owe money to. Amen. It's very, and if there was, you know, if deal with those issues, and that's a good thing to be, a good place to be. You know, I'm not saying that there's not a little debt, because obviously we got buildings. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, and I'm not going to preach on that, but you understand my point of view. I'm not saying that, you know, because some people take what I say and they flip-flop it all around. They come up with stuff I don't know how they come up with. Praise the Lord. I mean, somebody thought that we were talking about, you know, we were talking about when we made the final payment in Corey this year. We made the final payment in Corey. When I was talking about that, I meant to the Church of God. But we pay somebody else that gave us the money to get the final payment to give to the Church of God. Amen. So even though we paid the Church of God off, we owe somebody else. Amen. We robbed Peter, but we're paying Paul. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. Amen. So we got to make sure that, you know, just, you know, glory to God. Hallelujah. So, but God will take care of us, and we're doing good. The same thing is with your household. You know, when God comes to you, maybe your job. I mean, when I met my wife, she was a waitress. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were just reading over some of the notes from that time period in our life. Real good. Amen. I can't share them with the kids yet, but they're good. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But she was my waitress, and she, you know, you know, you think about people like that. So the more that we can have, see this whole thing from compassion, We can go out into the world and we can be a light even in the midst of this. You know, you may say, hey, you know what? My job got laid off maybe. I don't know everybody's situation in here. But you know what? Praise the Lord. My God takes care of me. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory because I'm faithful and because I'm taught right, and praise the Lord. And see, these are the things that can stir faith. These are times when we can really reach people, praise the Lord. These are times where we come in faith and we just say, you know what? We can take care of things. I just, my wife told me about this one person, went to a restaurant. God, I hope they were a Christian. They went to a restaurant and yesterday and they left a $2,500 tip. And you know what they said? They said, split it amongst all of you. Praise the Lord. See, stuff like that. This is why people need to understand. And maybe you don't have $2,500 to do that with. But you understand places that we can look for in that. But see, in places of fear, people won't act like that. I can't get beyond this scripture, but glory to God for where he has us. Amen. And so we have to look at it differently. I know how fear feels because it's like all the last couple days, it's just been over me like this. And I've just been like, I'm trusting. I've just been pointing it back to God and doing my best to do the word. And there's times I don't want to, but it's been trying to get, but it's not gonna. And then when I got on my knees and I was praying and I was just like, Lord, I just thank you. And I pray, I was praying in the spirit and I thank you, Lord. And I'm just going to tell you, pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. The Bible, in Jude 20, it says that you build yourself up in your most holy faith. And if you don't know how to pray in the spirit or if you've been filled and you've had trouble with it, come to us and talk to us. We will help you. But that, how do people get built up in faith? You know, one of the ways is praying in the spirit. It builds you up. You say, how does that work? I don't know how it works, but God set it up that way. It works. Praise the Lord. And so as I pray in the spirit, glory to God, I pray out the unknown, but I also build myself up in faith. Glory to God. And I was doing that. I was on my knees and I was praying. And I wasn't even praying that long. And all of a sudden, I didn't see light. It wasn't like I got a vision. But all of a sudden, I just felt light surrounding me. And I'm like, yes. And I knew, like, listen, we got some time ahead of us. No matter what you want to say, my wife, till when? At least April 20th, ain't going back to school. That's the deal. April 20th. At least. And told that they would be very happy if they were able to get back by May. So that's a pretty big thing, pretty big deal. You know, and again, we got to consider all those parents that are out there that are working, it's still working, they got kids, what do we do with them now, you know, and stuff like that. And so we want to just be mindful of that stuff. God has not given us a spirit of fear, so we do not need to act in fear. In fact, just the opposite, we understand according to the Bible that when you act according to fear, that your fears will come to pass. And it's not because God's waiting there to zap you with your fear, but it's because you open the door. Fear is the door the devil uses to get into your life. Let me say it again in case you didn't hear. Fear is the door the devil uses to get an open door into your life. Fear is a wide open door saying, hey, Mr. Devil, come in and do what you like. Resist him steadfast in the faith. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom may he devour? Those who have opened the door by fear. Now, you can feel fear in your body. You can feel fear in your mind. But that does not mean you're overcome with fear. What you do with that fear determines whether or not you're overcome by it. How do you deal with it? The only way to deal with anything the devil uses against you is get into Ephesians 6 and read all about it. Praise the Lord. You must stand in faith. If you do not stand in faith, if you operate according to fear, you will have exactly what you are fearing. If you are afraid of money and so you won't do things because you're afraid of not having enough money, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to have enough money. You will never have enough of anything until you operate in faith. If you are afraid that this coronavirus is going to overtake you and overtake your family and probably get to you, I'm just going to tell you the truth. We're probably not going to see you around here. I'm not saying you'll die, but I'm just saying that you're probably going to end up getting sick. You know, I mean, that's just the truth. Now, I'm not saying, now that doesn't mean if somehow it weaseled its way in and got to somebody, I am not saying that means that they just operated if you're operating in faith, but then they got to operate smart, amen, and take care of themselves. You know, there's all kinds of things. And we're saying no plague come near our dwelling. We're standing in faith the best we know how. Praise the Lord. And we're doing the best that we know as far as keeping things out there. And God will protect us. He will keep us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean the devil won't try. But that doesn't mean we get afraid of it. We can't be afraid of it, because if we're afraid of it, it'll open the door. Amen? Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. And I've just got to preach every other scripture I have in a third of the time I praise God. Well, I can go a little bit over because I had that, you know, that introduction of the instruction, and we needed that, so praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:19. Praise God. I'll just tell you the truth. I am encouraged. I feel good. I am so happy. You know, even today, praise God, I was looking outside and I was like, you know, the sun's shining. Praise the Lord. God is good. We're coming out of the winter. Hallelujah. You know, we got all the promises of God. Amen. Who was it that said, I ain't got a nickel to my name, but all the promises of God? I can't remember who it was, but man, is that good. Hallelujah. You might not, there might be times where you don't have a nickel to your name. There might be times where you do have to reel back. There are times, listen, it doesn't seem prosperous to ration toilet paper. Right? It doesn't seem prosperous to do so, but it might be smart to do so. But it doesn't matter if it seems prosperous. The moment, see, this is the thing. Christians get so hung up on the moments. We can't get hung up on the moment. Because listen, no matter what has come against this nation or has come against this world, it's past. Except for the devil, but we know he passes. So we know that at the very end, at least, he can't make it through. And so, you know, no matter what comes against us, we've been in depressions, we've been in recessions, we've had all, I mean, people have built businesses and lost businesses, people have worked jobs and lost jobs, people have gained and lost, all these things over the years. But the people of God can stay sure and solid no matter what. No matter how the winds blow, we know that they are, but we are going to stay solid. And this is why we need to keep our connection. We need to encourage one another. We need to love on one another. Amen. Family first. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Praise God. Hallelujah. Says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. This is what we need to understand. Entering, what this is talking about right here, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, God's spirit was in the ark. His presence was in the ark of the covenant. Not the ark that Noah was on, the ark of the covenant that held the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that budded and so on and so forth. And so that was placed in the place called the Holy of Holies in the inner, like if this was the temple, the Holy of Holies would be like back there somewhere, and only one person could enter the Holy of Holies one time a year, praise the Lord. And when they did enter there, he had that priest that did, it was a high priest, when he entered in, he had bells tied to his ankle, and he had a rope tied around his neck, or around his neck, around his ankle. Just seeing if you're paying attention. Praise God, hallelujah. No, that's some of the churches that are congregation led. They have the rope tied around the pastor's neck. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But they had a rope tied. And the reason is if the bells, they heard the priest fall, because if the priest went in there in the wrong kind of presence, the wrong kind of sin, he would drop dead because he was in the presence of God. See, we don't understand that. The presence of God doesn't kill people, but because of the presence of God, it can't deal with sin. And so it can't dwell with sin, so it's like that, okay? And so that's what happened. He went into he would go into Holy Holies. I don't know how many priests, I don't know if the Bible tells us how many priests fell, but some apparently did. And they would drag him out, you know, because they wouldn't even go in there. You understand, it was behind a curtain. They wouldn't even go in there. So, but we understand what Jesus did was when Jesus died on the cross, that veil in the temple literally tore in two. And there was an earthquake, praise the Lord. And it was symbolic. God was showing the earth that now the Holy of Holies was changing. And what Jesus did was he put the Holy of Holies on the inside of us. He put the Holy Spirit, the holiest of the holies, on the inside of us. That ark now is on the inside of us, technically. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so it says, therefore, having brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood. See, by the blood of Jesus is given us the ability to be bold about God. We ain't got no bells. We ain't got no rope, man. We're walking right on in. Why? Because that's what God did. This is the grace and the love of God. That he said, I don't want my people separate from me. I want them walking in where I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. And it goes on to say here in verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And his flesh represents that veil, amen? That curtain that was keeping us up. But notice it says a new and living way. So one, it was new to them. They didn't understand anything about it, but it's a living way. It's a way of living that we get bold and we enter into the Holy of Holies. We enter into the power of God by boldness. And it's a living way that we live this way, amen? This is why it's important to live right. Because the more that when we live right, we can walk right in and just be bold. See, if you've been sinning, you ain't going to walk up to God and be like, hey, God. No, it doesn't happen that way. Because when you get in the presence of God, if you've been sinning, your sin is exposed, and you're like, you feel like you want it. You like the first thing you do is repent. Now, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it goes on to say, verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. In what? Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Glory to God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why do we hope? Because we have full assurance. Full assurance of faith. Full assurance says that we can go in, even though we were tainted, even though things weren't perfect in us, that Jesus paid that way. Folks, this is why it's good to endeavor to be right before the Lord. That when God's dealing with you on something, you work on it. And this is the grace of God, is that even though we're imperfect, he still allows us in. He still has created a way by the blood of Jesus that covers that sin if our heart is right towards him. Amen? But let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. The same God that promised that he would supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago is the same God during the coronavirus that will still supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And look at this. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Praise the Lord. Let us consider one another. You know, and this is what assembling together is about. The people that are in this room, you're all faithful. We see you, we see you all the time, praise the Lord. I believe you're connected to the vision and the direction that God is taking this church in. Praise the Lord. You guys are the faithful. Stir up love and good works within yourselves. We need to be looking for opportunities too. You know, what's the proof of that the devil is losing to him is when a Christian stands in faith and is not rocked by what he puts out. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then, of course, we know verse 25, we even talked about this at Sunday, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So this is our direction. We know that the assembling together is good, and it's right, and it's what we should do. This is what keeps us going in the right direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so praise God for it. I'm just so thankful for it. Romans 5:20 and 21. I just want to bring them up here. So write it down, 5:20, Romans 5:20 and 21. Praise the Lord. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now this is interesting. Go on to verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to define a few terms here for you. Go back to verse 21. Amen. Or 20, I'm sorry. Praise God. Sin is literally that which is done wrong. Amen. That's what it means. When you look it up, sin is that which is done wrong. So when you look at here, but where that which is done wrong abounded, grace... And grace means is literally God's ability to the righteous. So grace is God's ability to us. Grace is you weren't able to, you couldn't do it, you couldn't figure it out on your own, but I came in and by my blood I empowered you, I enabled you, praise the Lord, to do all the things even though you were imperfect. Isn't that awesome? God's power working in us came by grace. By grace you were saved through faith, amen? And that's what that literally means. So by God's ability. So where sin or where that which is done wrong abounded, God's ability abounded much more. Do you think that this doesn't apply today? Where that which is wrong abounds? What's going on in the world? Well, we can come up with all kinds of reasons why this might have gotten out or why it's there or why it's... But we all know this, it ain't of God, right? And if it ain't of God, it ain't good, right? And if it ain't good, it ain't of God, then praise the Lord, it's that which is done wrong. And if that which is done wrong has abounded, which it certainly seems like it has and is, God's ability abounds much more. But who wants to go ahead in verse 21? Praise the Lord. So that sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through what? Righteousness. And righteousness is the state of them who is of him who is as he ought to be. Amen? That's what righteousness is. The state of him who is as he ought to be. Amen. To eternal life. Grace reigns through the state of him who is as he ought to be. So you can say, as you and I do as we ought to do, as you and I live in faith, you and I... bold, as you and I love on the people, as you and I do good works, stir up good works, and we consider one another, and we act like the church should act, and like we are progressively doing more and more so. And I'm just going to tell you right now, this is the best church, praise the Lord, for people like that. The heart of the people here, like I could see it every time. This is the reason why I like hugging all of you, because it's not hard. It's enjoyable to hug people that are just such wonderful people. And I mean that with my entire heart. But we need to continue in the works of righteousness. We need to continue in doing the things that are right. Praise the Lord. Because that's what takes us to that eternal life. Amen. Or into all of that. Amen. Or carries us in through that life. Amen. And that's the life that Jesus promised us. Praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing that he has provided for us is this grace that we couldn't obtain by ourselves, that we had no right to, really. When there was literally, let me see here real quick. I think it's, praise the Lord. Hang on just one second with me. Praise the Lord. Thought it was, I can't find it right now. I'll look for it later. But I thought it was in Romans, but it probably is somewhere. But the idea that God didn't know we weren't worthy enough, even though that we weren't. God looked on us in our worst, at our worst. Amen. He saw us at our worst, and you know what his solution was at our worst. His solution was, give them my son. Give them the blood of my son. Cover them with that. At our worst, you think of the worst thing that you ever done. And I have to believe that for all the people sitting in this room, you have already done the worst thing you'll ever do in your life. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that as you pass through life, as you're still here, and as Jesus tarries, you go back and be with the Lord, whatever. But I believe you have already committed the worst thing. Isn't that good to know? Yeah. Just look at yourself. Look around the room and say, you know what? We've already been the worst we're ever going to be. Unless one of you chooses to be dumb, right? And then that's on you. But I mean, seriously, like, honestly, with the knowledge that we got now, we have enough to know we ain't got to be dumb. That we have already done the worst thing that we've ever done. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. But God looked at us in that moment. At that moment, the worst that you were ever going to be. So the worst you were ever going to be, which was sometime in the past, even if it was 15 minutes ago, I don't care, but it was in the past, because you're always going to do better than you did before. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. As I look around the room, I see a group of people that just love the Lord and love the people of God and love their pastor. You are going on to do the greatest things you'll ever do in your life. Praise the Lord. But in the worst moment of your life, the place where you were at your lowest and you made the worst decisions and you did the worst things, God looked at you and saw you then and said, I'm going to give you my grace. Right then. Not when you're better you. No, not when you're the best you that you've ever been. Not when you start figuring things out. No, when you were the worst. Praise the Lord. And I just got to say, even if you didn't listen to me, you wanted to be dumb, and you go on to do the worst thing, which I don't believe you're going to do, and you don't believe you're going to do it either. But even if you went out and did the worst thing that you ever did, that is the moment that God looked at you and said, I'm giving him my son. I'm giving him the grace. And in that moment, even if it were yet to happen, which it isn't with you because it's already happened, praise the Lord. But with a lot of people out there, they have a lot, maybe have a lot of worse moments ahead of them. But God looked at all of them in those moments, in the future, in the past, doesn't matter, and said, this is where I'm going to give you my ability. This is where I'm going to put my grace. So my brothers and sisters, as we sit here tonight, as we congregate here together tonight, we've got the Holy of Holies, all the ability of God. We've got all the direction of God, all the plans that he has in the future for us. We have all the hope. We have all the expectation rolled up in us right now. Right now. It's right there. Just walk in it. And that's what we're going to do. And guess what? You are going to go out there this week, and you're going to do something that's not so perfect. You are going to make decisions. You might make a decision that is different and opposite of what I said. But you know what you're going to do when you're aware of that? You're going to say, my God is so good that he looked at my worst and gave me Jesus. And so today, he gives me Jesus. And so I'm just going to make a better decision to move on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I mean, he has just made it so, he has tilted it so much in our favor. He has made it so good for us that we're just going to continue on. So, you know, I mean, in China, they can't meet in a building like this at all. And of course, it ain't at this place, and it won't be at this place. I don't believe. But they meet in the secret of night. People who are faith. In the secret of night, some remote location, in a house. And they'll go in, and then it'll be dark for hours, and then all of a sudden, the room is full. We've gotten these stories from China. This is the way it is there, because they can't worship like you and I do. But you know something? God is there in the midst of them. Praise God. So even if it looked the worst, God is there in the midst of us. Coronavirus, yeah, I see coronavirus, but God is still God. I mean, it's affecting people. It's going to affect more. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to affect more people out there. Yeah, we're praying against that. Praying for my nation. Glory to God. You should too. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it doesn't matter. God's grace. I'm just telling you. You know, some of the stuff that I just preached, I mean, with the last 5 minutes, is new to me too. And I'm just going to tell you, it just stirred me up so much. I mean, that might have been the best thing that came out of my mouth ever. And you know what's so great about it? I didn't come up with it. I didn't have to come up with it, because if it was up to me, I'd still be sitting on my couch trying to figure out what the heck we're going to do. Yeah, that's exactly my old mind is what I'm saying. I mean, we're not like, you know, we're good, praise the Lord, but I'm just saying, glory to God. You know what I love the other day? My brother Scott called me the other day. Can I share this with you? My brother Scott called me the other day, and, you know, he was talking about, he was just asking some questions about some logistical stuff, or whatever. Just had a question, and so that was fine, and we talked about it, and you know, one of the things that it just blessed me that he said, he said to me, and there was boldness and there was a surety in his voice, and he said, my pastor will never lack anything. And I don't know if he was saying because he's going to do it or because he just believes God's going to do it. I don't really care. But that just stirred me up. Man, it just fired me up. It's just like, you know what? Yeah. You know what? You won't lack either. And you won't lack, and you won't lack. You know, we're not going to lack, because even if it looks like it's bad, we ain't lacking. We got Jesus. We got it all rolled up on the inside of it. It doesn't matter how it looks. We ain't lacking. We're going to the other side. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Praise the Lord. Don't make me come out of my skin. Yeah, amen. Hallelujah. But that's how we should look at people. We should look at each other. You ain't going to lack. What do you lack? You got Jesus. You got everything rolled up, balled up on the inside of you. God put it in a nice package and packed it on the inside of you. Now, even if you got a little bit of a belly. Praise the Lord. He's still in there. Glory to God. I mean, you might be full, but he's in there somewhere. Amen. It might take him a few more minutes to come out, but praise the Lord. It's in there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Glory to God. I just love that. I love that faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we don't just need to be telling the pastor that. We need to be telling each other that. Husbands and wives, look at each other. You ain't going to lack nothing. Nothing. You ain't going to lack nothing. Josh, you ain't going to lack nothing. You believe it? You ain't going to lack nothing. You believe it? I believe you do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ain't going to lack nothing. Why? Because you got the Holy Ghost balled up on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I could just about get unhinged here, but we got to keep going. We're almost done here, but got a little bit more. Amen. Turn with me to Titus 2. Praise God. You know what's interesting about this? You know, the other day I was telling you that of course, the Timothys and Titus are all the pastoral letters. And the last scripture I'm going to here today, or tonight, the last scripture I go to is where this whole thing started. And I was reading that last scripture we're going to go to that you don't know yet, but we'll get there. And, I was considering, because when I sit down with the Lord, I sit down a lot of times with a question. And my mind was like, okay, Lord, how do I lead my people? Excuse me, I said, how do I lead your people? And I specifically did say that. How do I lead your people in this time? What do I do? Because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. You know what I wanted to do? Run for the hills. But that's not what I did. See, that's the thing. You can feel like you want to run for the hills. That's fear. If you run for the hills, that's acting on fear. I didn't run for the hills. I got before my God because he's my answer. Amen? Praise the Lord. And that's what we're going to do. Hallelujah. And so I remember, well, Timothy, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus are all talking to pastors. So I better go get some pastoral instruction. And I don't know why, but I felt my spirit to start reading Titus. And I did. And I started right at the beginning of Titus. Titus ain't very long. And I got to this point. And praise the Lord. And this is what God has given me. Titus 2:11. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we're going to go through chapter 3 and verse 8. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm just saying you could spend a whole lot of time there. Soberly means to live with a sound mind. Righteously means to live agreeably to right. So what's agreeable to right? Amen. That's what righteousness is. So we should all live with a sound mind, agreeing to what's right, and godly is literally devoted to God. Our lives devoted to God. So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, but it teaches us that we should deny ungodliness and work, and we should focus on these things. Praise the Lord. Sound mind, living agreeable to what is right, and devoted to God. Amen. But look at verse 13. It says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so our attention needs to be on him. Now, I don't know if you ever know anything about breaking boards. Anybody know anything about breaking boards in half? I wanted to learn once, and so I learned all about breaking boards in half. And the key to breaking a board in half, or one of the keys, among many. I'm only going to give you one, so you don't go out and do it, break your hand, and then come blame me. So I'm only giving you one tip. You got to go somewhere else to find the other tip. But one of the keys to doing, as somebody was holding one in front of you, is to not picture the board, but to aim for the thing behind the board, which is the human, right? The reason is because if you have something here, right, and you want to break through that, you want to go to the other side of that, right? Because we all know that if you stop here, you're not going through that. But if you focus on what's the other side, your hand's going to keep going. But if you focus on this, this is where you stop. You see what I mean? And so if this is where you stop, you're going to fall short of your goal because you weren't focused on the right thing. But see, here it tells us that we are to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, an event that's sometime in the future that we don't know, but that's what we look towards. So that's where our hearts and our minds are always pointed. When we do that, as we're going, praise the Lord, we're going, opposition comes up. We go through the opposition, praise the Lord. As we're going, opposition comes up this way. We go through it, glory to God. But when you focus on the opposition, you stop. What do I do? What am I going to do here? Praise the Lord. You go through to the thing. We're not focused on that. We're focused on the glory. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So he wants to redeem us. So it's really important that we see that he gave himself for us. Because how many of you have flesh? Right? Glory to God. How many of you like your flesh? I mean, at some point, even if you don't like, you might look in the mirror and think, I don't like my flesh today. But you know, like when... when you're walking by the donut case, you're liking your flesh, right? Praise the Lord. You know, you younger people, you're walking by, you see a hottie, you're liking your flesh. You older people, you're walking by, you see a hottie, you'll start liking your flesh. It doesn't matter. We all go through it. We all have gone through it. Praise the Lord. There's something that tickles your flesh, not literally, but, you know, that gets your flesh going. Amen. You love your flesh. Praise the Lord. Do you think Jesus, now see, this is the thing. This is why Jesus didn't come to live as a God. He came to live as a man. Because he dealt with the flesh. Amen. And when he dealt with the flesh, he certainly liked his flesh. He certainly was hungry at times. He certainly liked it, but what did he do? Put down his flesh. He crucified his flesh. But the important part of what I'm trying to get to is it says who gave himself for us. He willingly gave his flesh for us. So he willingly, loving his flesh, gave it over for us. That tells us something. If you give up something, mothers, have you ever stayed up in the middle of the night with a crying baby? Why did you do it? Why didn't you put the baby outside or somewhere where you couldn't hear it? Why didn't you do it? I'm just saying, because you cared, because you gave up for your flesh. Because is there anything that you wouldn't have done? I know it sounds funny, but there's people that get the wrong mind that are not sound mind. And that's another thing. When we hear about a mother who's done something like that, we have to have compassion. Why? Because a sound mind wouldn't do that. If the church had got to them, that wouldn't have happened. I said if the church had got to them, it wouldn't have happened. Praise the Lord. So instead of judging, we need to be reaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. That's good for you, no charge. But at any rate, you gave up your flesh. There's nothing you wouldn't give for that baby. There's nothing you wouldn't do for that baby. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, that's the same thing that Jesus did. When it says that he gave up his flesh, what is he withholding from you? What do you think Jesus really wants to withhold? He gave you everything that meant anything while he was a human. Do you know what I'm saying? Like in the flesh, everything that means anything is to a human is the flesh. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But he gave it up for us. I know that's a long way of getting there, but we have to see these things. And then it goes on to say here, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Praise the Lord. Or think little of you. Glory to God. Remind them to subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Listen, the Bible talks a lot about this. And this is one of the scriptures that opens eyes to why we're doing some of what we're doing. In a government, we are told through scripture that in a government, as long as it is not trying to make us go against God, we are to obey. We are to obey. That's important for Christians to understand because the Bible has a lot to say about rejecting authority or submitting to authority. It's big with God. Amen? I said it's big with God. Amen? And you all know it. What's worse than when you're a parent and a kid talks back to you like they know what they're talking about? What are they doing? They're rejecting authority. But see, if we start with little bits of authority, if we start rejecting authority here, rejecting authority here, eventually we'll reject the ultimate authority, which is God. And so that's why we have to work on that. Listen, I'm a person. The first thing, oh, praise God, I just said, I'm a person that wants to just completely rub the wrong way on everything. I want to do everything different. I want to do things my own way. Praise the Lord. Fortunately, I've got enough ability in me that I don't just do that anymore. Thank the Lord, hallelujah. And a good wife that helps me. No, that's not good, Jeffrey. Look at verse 2. To speak evil of no one. But wait a minute, what about that one person? No, no one. To be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. You see, isn't this interesting? If you go into a lot of Christian churches, verse 3 is what you see. Because people haven't learned to crucify the flesh yet. It's all about them. I said it's all about, like, listen, if you're focused on you, if you're focused on what you don't have and what you, blah, 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 you're all about you. Put down your flesh. Why? Because you ain't going to get no blessing of God. You're focused about you. Stop being a baby. Wake up. I mean, listen. I have full-grown people, been on the left, and they still are just focused on them. I mean, we see it all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is not what the church should look like. It should look for verse 2. But a lot of times, we're just like that. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, the rebirth, right, and renewing of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. I love this. You remember when we were talking about the Holy Spirit being on the inside of us? Do you know what he does? He renews us. It's a renewing thing. The more that we, this is what praying in the Holy Spirit does. It keeps us connected to the Holy Spirit. And by doing so, what we're doing is we're refreshing and renewing ourselves. We don't, maybe don't even feel it. It doesn't matter if we feel it. We're refreshed. We're renewed. Listen, when you eat vitamin, or when you eat something good for you, and you're getting vitamins that are helping your body, you don't sit there and think, man, okay, I feel the vitamin A going, oh, there's the vitamin A, and oh, there's the vitamin B, and whatever. There's the vitamin C. No, you don't do that. But you know it's working for you. Why do you eat things that don't? Why do you eat broccoli? Not because it really tastes good. Or Brussels sprouts. I like broccoli, but like Brussels sprouts. Why do you eat Brussels sprouts or lima beans? I don't know why you eat lima beans, because you're a fool, probably. I guess I don't. I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. I just don't like lima beans. But there's stuff in them that's good for you, right? But you don't know what all that's doing, but you eat them because you know it's good for you. You know, more vegetables. I know, but praise the Lord. Why eat them? Because they're good for you. Some people actually claim to like them. My wife claims to like them, but that's only because she doesn't like meat. And if you don't like meat, then you have nothing else to like. You just got to like the vegetables. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is a joke, man. Regeneration, renewing of this. Hey, we live good together. And she's introduced me a lot of things that I didn't know I liked. Like vegan stuff. And tofu. I like tofu. I ate gobs of tofu the other night. Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. That's just free, no charge. Yeah, nobody's buying that up. That is, that's for sure. Yeah, there's lots of tofu, man. You can find all kinds of tofu. I don't know, really. But the renewing of the Holy Spirit, is renewing us and refreshing us. And those, amen? Glory to God. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Abundantly poured him out on us. You know what's funny is, like, you can have an abundance of stuff and not use any of it. You know what I mean? The people, God's people, the Holy Spirit, was, and when you look at all the Holy Spirit is, he is so much. He's the renewer, the refresher, he's the helper, he's the guide, he's our teacher, he's our, I mean, just everything to us. He's the one who regenerated us. He's the one who empowered Christ and empowers us. He's the one who empowers, drives death away, praise the Lord, and all these things, the Holy Spirit. And you know, most Christians just have him kind of, like, in their minds, just kind of, he's like out there, they're not even utilizing him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's not good. Praise the Lord. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want to affirm constantly, that those who believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. If the church isn't performing good works, nobody is. And even if the coronavirus is all about the devil trying to stop the church, there's many churches he's going to stop, and many Christians that won't go forward, because there's going to be many Christians that are just too afraid. Listen, know your God. Know that you don't have to be afraid. Praise the Lord. We are going to end with the answer. What do we do? And it starts right here. Jeremiah 29, verse 7. Praise God. God has been leading me back here consistently over the past few days, and this is the way I've been praying. Praise the Lord. I have not been praying so much for ourselves, unless the Lord has brought something up before me, but I've been praying this general prayer. Glory to God. Jeremiah 29, 7. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. That word peace, again, it means favor, wellness, praise the Lord, prosperity, safety, glory to God, hallelujah. Looks like Pepsi. No, not Pepsi. I can't read my own handwriting, praise the Lord. Soundness, all these things is what's wrapped up in that word peace. Amen. In the peace of the place that I've caused you to be captive. See, God, you're not in the wrong place at the wrong time. You're in the right place at the right time. Because where God has placed you is the place where you have a place to affect. And it starts with your prayers. Praise the Lord. You are most blessed where you are called. Don't let the devil rob you. I have been praying for Mayville and Corey. And I've been saying, Lord, I thank you for Mayville and Corey. I thank you, Lord. I seek their peace. I thank you for the prosperity. I said the businesses of the town, I thank you that they do well, that the virus doesn't reach us, that all these, I've just been praying. Christians, we got to start praying. Pray for the, because he says, he didn't say pray for your own peace, and that's what a lot of people are doing right now. Oh, Lord, protect me and my own. But he said, in its peace will be your peace. In its prosperity will be your prosperity. In its wholeness will be your wholeness. Praise God, hallelujah. In its soundness will be your soundness. Does this work naturally? Of course it does. If everything is hunky-dory in the place you live, you ain't looking around thinking, what am I going to do about it? If it never reached, if any of this never reached the United States, we would be sitting back going like, well, where's the toilet? We'd be just be like, okay. The people in West Virginia right now are happy. They got zero, right? They're down there being happy, praise the Lord. I like West Virginia's coffee shop. I like down there very greatly. I hope they do well, praise the Lord. But you know what I'm saying? Like in its peace, in its prosperity, listen, the area you live in, if I mean, I could point to anyone, and we got people that work based in like their own business type of things in here. We got several of them, praise the Lord. And they could tell you that when things are happening here, it's going to be happening there. And so that's what we just believe. We believe for the restaurants. We believe for the people. Yeah, God, I thank you that the epidemics, the drug epidemic, if we're just looking at something normal, I thank you that it flees this area, these areas. Pray for its peace. This is, folks, this is really what we need to be doing. When we start with a heart of God to do that, then you watch and see what changes for us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're going to pray for the peace of the area. We're going to pray for the peace of each other. We're going to be a light to each other. We're going to stand up and be stand-up people to each other. Glory to God. We're going to be Christians. We're going to stand together. We're going to do what we need to do to get through this and get over it. Praise the Lord. And we'll look to God for answers. I will continue to be seeking God for answers. But I just tell you, like I said, today, I know that all things are going to be good. Now, praise God. If you want to connect to that, they'll be good for you too. I just know that. But if you don't want to connect to it, then don't have them good. But they're going to be good for me. They're going to be good for mine and the things that God has shown me. Amen. And so maybe things will be different for a little while. That's okay. It's all right if it's different for a little while. We adapt. We're humans. We can do this. Praise the Lord. And even more so, we're God's people. And so adaptation is just like, I mean, it's easy. Yeah, praise the Lord. Why? Because we got the Holy Spirit who will lead us. He brought us here. He put us here. Prosperity here with us. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.